Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here.
Now, the reason why I wanted to talk about, you know, burning passion, and I guess I would think called hooked on a feeling. I guess if I was going to say something, it's hooked on a feeling. And there was a song years ago that was, the lyrics of the song was, I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm tired of believing that you're in love with me. Well, no, it really doesn't kind of go like that. But that's what the Holy Spirit was just laying on my heart. But the actual words of the song is something similar to that, where it's saying, you know, he was really actually hooked. This is the words, I'll just tell you the words the Lord spoke to me in my spirit is, hooked on a feeling, I'm tired of believing that Jesus is in love with me. And it's like, that's how the church has gotten to that point. It's like, make me feel something. I'm tired of believing. Just, you keep on telling me just to believe. Do I do these thing of these miracles amongst you because you obey some law or because you believe? And somebody else says, well, I'm tired of believing. Just, I want to feel better. I want to feel something. I want to feel a chill up my spine, you know. And God's probably saying, I want to see some movement in your feet. Right.
You know? I know.
But it's like, but America's hooked on a feeling. You know, it's an addicted culture of carnality of regards to my flesh has got to feel, but my flesh feels good, then I feel like God's for me. But it's like, you know, hooked on a feeling because I'm tired of believing that God's in love with me. Mm. And it's like, it's because you believe. It's not anything to do with the feeling. How do you think Paul felt when he's laying on a pile of rocks after being stoned because he told people about the love of God? How do you think Paul felt when he was in prison and sewer was running through the bottom of the prison where his feet was when he was in chains? I mean, was he hooked on a feeling? No, he was hooked in chains. He was writing the prison epistles. How do you think Paul felt when he was in a shipwreck? I mean, was he hooked on a feeling? Listen, America, I mean, we all want to feel good. I mean, think about it. We're the most prescription-using culture probably in the history of the world, you know, and probably pretty much in the past, they just didn't get a prescription for it. They just grew it. But either way, I mean, people want to feel good, but it's not about a feeling. It's not about a feeling. And when I was talking about, and I talked about recently, we're talking about soaking in faith, and I talked about incubating your faith, I talked about a burning passion, which is obviously can be tied into a feeling, but it's not a burning passion in the context of, you know, it was four components to, and you can you know, incubating your faith for a firm foundation. So you can go back and listen to it on the VFN Torch. But it's not about a feeling. It's about you first have a clear-cut vision, objective, you know, what you're believing God for. Secondly, you have to have a burning passion. Thirdly, you have to have permission, peace, and the timing of God. And then you got to begin to speak it out. But you have to understand, I was speaking of things that not yet exist. Mm-hmm. If you have children and your children are hungry and they're looking at you and saying, Mother, could you give me some porridge? You don't go, I'm waiting for a burning passion. Right. But this is what the church does today. Mm. I mean, I'm not feeling it, so you're going to be hungry until I feel it. Mm. It's like, no, that's not what incubating faith for a firm foundation is about. It's about, I'm talking about, there's a huge need in a season of all creation that God has birthed you in to believe God for something that does not yet exist in the natural, and you're going to birth it into reality because you are a creative being created in the image and likeness of God, and you're going to walk through this process of incubating your faith. If you have children, feed them. Mm. If you have children, feed them. You don't need a burning passion to feed your children. You don't need a burning passion to be the husband that you're supposed to be to your wife. You don't need a feeling to be the husband, be the wife, you know, be the parent. You know, so many people just walk out of relationships because they don't feel it anymore, because they're hooked on a feeling and they're looking for another feeling. And they find out after finding another relationship that started off feeling carnality, flesh, that wanes out because all of a sudden there's not a feeling there anymore. All you have to do is do the reality of things. And so when I'm talking about, when I was talking about burning passion, hopefully these things will coexist in some sort of connection of incubating your faith, is when Jesus tells us to do something, we don't wait for a burning passion to do it. If he says, feed the hungry, don't wait for, I'm trying to, you know, break away from this television. I'm trying to break away from my convenience and my comfort. These big demons holding me captive here to go do what God says. But he's going to give me a burning passion to break away from all this comfort and convenience. And then it's like, what? What have we come to that's how we define a burning passion? I need a burning passion just to be a believer. And so many people are not obeying God, blaming God now because he did not give them a burning passion. That is not what I was talking about. What I was talking about, we're talking about something that does not yet exist. The hungry exist. The needy exist. Your fellowship of believers exists. Your nation exists. Everything around you exists. And God expects of you to function and to walk in obedience to him, feeling it or not, shipwrecked or not. It's called faith. That's called faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. It's not in the context of, he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to know and test what God's will is, good and perfect, pleasing will. Living sacrifice, if you look that word up, what it means victim. Your flesh is not supposed to be happy.
Right.
Quit living your life going like, I want to feel it. I mean, you're not going to, you know, surrendering your body to the flames, you're not going to ever go, woohoo. But sometimes you just got to play the man, right?
That's right.
Polycarp. You know, being a parent all the time is not the easiest thing in the world. And you don't base it off of a feeling. If you do, you're going to be abusive. Do it because it's right. And discipling believers and raising the church up to be able to be launched into their destinies, you don't need a feeling for that. You don't need to burn in passion for that. You need to be obedient and do it. You need to do it. We need to teach people God's ways, disciple nations. Quit waiting. Quit being hooked on a feeling because you're tired of believing that what God set for us to do, that's what we're supposed to do. But if something does not yet exist, if it doesn't exist, and you are moving through the fundamentals of the four foundations, this that I talked about building your faith and walking it out, I mean, you're going to go through those processes. And yeah, I mean, you don't have a grid. I mean, I'm not talking about your children or your husband or your wife or the church or the, I'm talking about you're believing God for a third grade awakening. I'm talking about you're believing God for a major move that people have not yet even have a grid for. I'm talking about, you know, the fullness of something manifested that you're going to believe and hold on to and begin to see it come to pass. Yeah, you will learn these things in the smaller steps. And yeah, you will learn them, but it's not about the smaller steps. You're just learning the ways of God and how to walk and be creative in the things of God. But don't wait for a burning passion to feed your children. And don't wait for a burning passion to feed God's children. Begin to pour your life out. You work all week to fill your natural children. It's time for you to begin to work all week to feed God's children. It's time to begin to sow and give because it's the right thing to do. It's time to say, you know what? If I'm hooked on a feeling and I'm tired of believing, then my destiny might not be good. When I get to the throne room of God and I say, I didn't believe anymore because you didn't make me feel good anymore, that's not going to be good. That's not going to be good. I remember a particular man that was going to a move of God that was taking place, a powerful outpouring of God. And he was from a particular denomination that taught against God healing and God's power and God's glory. So he was a real sad person. And so he just goes and investigates it. He had, you know, the whole world was coming, so he needed to go check it out. And so he goes there, and he gets a chill that goes up his spine as he defines it. And he said, that's how God speaks to me. It's a chill up my spine.
Oh, gosh.
And that confirmed to me, which I'm thinking, he felt something. This is good. But this is his conclusion. Because I felt something, because I felt that was God telling me that this is not of God.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, my goodness. So, okay. He's going to continue to be sad. And then he has a daughter that's born, a child that's born, or it was a daughter or son, with a deformity.
Mm. Wow.
Moved across the United States, far, far away. Hadn't talked to the person in a long, long time. But guess what? I got a phone call. See, when you don't need a miracle, you don't think you need nothing. You know, you, even though you say you have no need of nothing, but you're really poor, naked, and blind. But then you find out you're poor, naked, and blind. That you come to that encounter, you need Jesus. You don't believe in prophecy till you need a word.
I know that.
And he said, this Jesus, he heals. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
It was so cool. Hey, that, you know, God accepts that. And, of course, we did, and I prayed for him, and, and he began to explore, and he changed his whole mindset and the concept. But he was hooked on a feeling. He was just hooked on a feeling. Some people are hooked on it. If you have any feeling at all, it's not God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And some people say, if you had a feeling, it's God. And the truth is, it's not about a feeling at all. It's about believing. So if you just happen to feel something on the way of your faith journey of believing, thank God for it. But it shouldn't waver you one way or the other, because God specifically says, this is how it should be. This is what marriage is. This is what family is. This is what the church is. This is what we're called to do. We're called to get thee up and go into all the world and to preach the gospel, tell everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ and let them know. He didn't say wait for a feeling. He said it's a commandment. It's a commandment. We don't pray about should we go. We pray about, is it okay for us to stay? And if we do stay, where are we supposed to be activated here so we can serve our Lord, our Savior? So I just want to say, are you hooked on a feeling because you're tired of believing? You threw your faith out the door. And everybody's getting really sick and tired of you saying, I don't feel nothing yet. And it's like, it never was about that. The question is, do you believe something yet? Because you're saved by faith, not by feeling.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I pastor a church in the city of St. Louis, and we are in the process of relocating. And there's a piece of land that the city owns. And we've come against three different aldermen who have told us, even before we got into negotiations with the city about the land, that they didn't want a church in those areas. When I get there, if I'm denied that land, how would the Federal Religious Land Use Act apply?
That's exactly why the RLUIPA has been passed. I mean, to be the high bidder on a piece of property and then not being able to buy it because you're a church is exactly why the Religious Land Use Protection Act is in place. The city is violating the church's rights.
Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness. Right. But you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Reading in Proverbs. This scripture, and it's had just to stop here. But I don't know if you've read this scripture before. In Proverbs 30, verse 3, it says, "For as churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, stirring up anger produces strife." Mm. You know, one of them scriptures you read kind of often, and you're interesting, and right. Maybe you keep going. But this time I didn't, you know, just right, felt like I was, right. needed to stop here. But you think about how butter is produced. You know, we live in a technologically advanced society here. We just run up to this local store and just get it out of the, you know, store and walk out with a tub of butter.
Do you actually know where that comes from?
I have no idea. I'm about to tell you about it. I didn't know.
Have you ever ventured into one of those places?
No. What, you talking about store?
A grocery store.
Oh, yes. I go to grocery stores. I go to grocery stores. I thought you were talking about a farm. I go to grocery stores.
Oh, and, I know you ain't been to a farm.
I've walked through a couple of farms in my lifetime.
Right.
Quickly. I didn't pick nothing up now. I didn't. I have viewed the terrain. I've taken the sights in. But we take for granted today, we see the huge disconnect from what it takes to produce the food to the time we go into the store to get it out. And did you know that butter is made out of milk, mm-hmm. and they have to churn it. They have to churn it. And what I found out.
Well, you know where the milk comes from?
Let's see. A cow? Milking the cow?
Yeah, there's a whole process.
Big process. But they get this milk. They have it in a barrel. And I'm simplifying the process here, mm-hmm. but. If the barrel's standing straight up, they have what they call a plunger or some sort of stick or something, and they work the milk.
Yeah.
They work the milk clumps and mm-hmm. it gets hardened, and this whole little process, they mm-hmm. you know, the fluid, they drain the fluid and allow mm-hmm. it to get harder, and before you know it, you got butter.
Yeah.
You know, they had a side deal too. They take a barrel and they have it sideways and put it on a stand, and on the side of the barrel, they have like a handle. And you kind of wind it like you're winding a clock or something in a forward motion.
Yeah.
And you're churning it. You're churning it. Kind of like turning, but you're churning mm-hmm. this milk, and it becomes clumpy and more clumpy and more clumpy. Before it, then it hardens and it settles.
Yeah.
And it goes through a process. I mean, it goes from a liquid substance to now you have this hard substance called butter, not parquet, but butter. And it's good. Tastes yummy. But there is a process of churning. Mm-hmm. And one of the things in the Bible that you'll see is that oftentimes it's a comparison. If we understand the analogy or the what they're comparing the truth to, if we understand that the first part, then we can understand the second part. So he says, as churning the milk produces butter, right? He goes on to say, as twisting the nose produces blood. I've never had I got my ears twisted when I was a child now. I didn't get my nose twisted. But I haven't seen this. I mean, it says it in the Bible. We can try it out, Steve, now to see if it works. Oh, okay.
What's the next verse say?
Okay, we'll leave that one alone.
Just check.
But as twisting the nose produces blood.
Yeah.
So does stirring up anger produce strife.
Wow.
This is serious here. This is serious because you're talking about a transformation. You know, the same way the milk went from a liquid substance and became a hard substance, something happened in between that two states that this milk was in for it to be a solid form of butter.
Yeah.
There was a churning. And oftentimes anger is like that. And the dictionary defines anger as a feeling of great annoyance. Weren't expecting that, were you? A feeling of great annoyance or antagonism as a result of some real or supposed, or I guess perceived, grievance. The strong, intense emotion. Think about it. Anger. And, you know, people get angry. You can angry and sin not. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord was angry that they had made the temple a den of robbers and said, this is going to be a house of prayer, which you guys are doing up in here, but we're going to get this right. But you can be angry and not sin, but I think oftentimes people fall into the temptation that they become angry and they do sin. Yeah. I think that happens more often than not.
Yeah.
And what happens with anger, it has different levels, if you will. There's like the kind of different stages. And it, you know, maybe starts off with an annoyance, and that annoyance maybe turns into an offense. And then a person will get exasperated. And then maybe that will lead to being infuriated.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you become incensed.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it turns into rage.
Yeah.
Process. You understand?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately.
It happens. He's like, what happened? It went from this annoyance and it's escalated.
You don't just get there all of a sudden.
You just don't. Sometimes you do. I mean, if you've been battling anger.
All that can happen all at one time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're battling with anger and this thing's been on you and you haven't been taught on how to deal with this thing, I mean, you can just go into rages.
Mm.
That's not normal. That's not normal. But sometimes you see this in a child and sometimes they think it's not cute either, but it has to be dealt with. And the worst thing that we can do with anger, the worst thing we can do is stir it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we stir it up in you know, at least two ways. One of the ways we do it is by thinking about that anger, thinking about what made us upset. Every time you give thought to what made you angry, you're just churning that thing just like you churned the milk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like the milk is churned to produce butter, you're churning that in your mind and you're thinking about that offense and you're thinking about that hurt and you're thinking about why they did that to you and how they wronged you and you're just upset.
Mm-hmm.
You're just upset. Maybe you're vocalizing it, but at this point, you're just thinking about it. Some of us are made different. Some folks can vocalize things more. Some people take their frustrations out by, you know, exerting physical effort, you know, they'll kick a can or something, or beat a trash can or something. Others, they'll just think about it.
Yeah.
And they'll just let it go through their mind over and over and over. And then they'll rehearse.
Mm.
Rehearse the scene. Rehearse what happened.
Or what they could have said, or what they should have said, or what they wanted to say.
Over and over. Mm-hmm. And over and over. And there's a churning. There's a churning that's occurring there. And that anger is settling and settling and settling and settling. The second way that happens is that then you begin to talk about it. So you can't just think about something for so long until it starts leaking out of your mouth. It's almost as if your heart is getting more full, more full,
That's right.
more full with each churning that you do. And before you know it, it starts leaking out of your mouth, and now you're verbalizing it, and now you're sharing it with others, and you're exasperating it. And you've taken this thing, anger, that you could have just dealt with and left it alone or gave it to God, and now you release strife.
Mm.
You have strife. Strife is defined as heated and can often become violent. It's a contention. It's a struggle. And it's interesting how you can have maybe two young, some siblings,
mm-hmm.
and they have, one is angry, and they're angry at each other, and they're just churning. And before you know it, you have this cloud of strife in your home. There's this strife. There's like it's like a fog, a spiritual fog that you can't see. And all of a sudden, the parents are arguing. And you look and you may think, well, maybe the parents started this, you know. Why are the parents arguing? Well, there's a strife was loosed in the house for maybe two siblings or other people that were living in the home. But you know, that can go both ways. Maybe the parents are churning their anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then they release strife and then wondering why the kids can't get along.
Right.
Because strife is in the atmosphere and it's been loosed in the home. And strife means lack of agreement or harmony. And you look at what's happening in families, in businesses, in this country. It's just one big contention struggle. It's just sickening, really, mm-hmm. if you think about it. And listen, at least at home, can you get some peace at home?
Yeah.
You know, you want to have peace in your home and your family, but it's not going to happen if you want to continue to exercise your quote-unquote right to be upset. I have a right to be upset. I have a right to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so that churning process, it's going to produce something.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to produce. And the question is, are you going to like what it produces? Are you going to like to have that in your home? Are you going to like to have that in your family? Are you going to like to have that in your church, amongst your fellowship? I mean, mm-hmm. really, is it worth it to have that type of anger, to be infuriated? Exasperated.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it happens when, you know, you get offended.
Mm-hmm. Focusing on how somebody wronged you, focusing on yourself, focus on expectations that weren't met.
Yeah. An injustice.
Yeah.
An injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, at some point we got to be able to find what to do with this anger. You gotta say, am I just being upset because I'm being inconvenienced?
Mm.
I'm being annoyed. Are we trying to say this is righteous anger? There's a big difference about having right. You want to be angry with just the sin that's going on in your own life. You know, it's like,
yeah, right.
That's a righteous anger, you know, but oftentimes you probably fall into an unrighteous anger more often than not. And we always have a choice. And it's, you can think more clearly when you're not in the midst of the struggle and the grip and the cloud. When the dust is settled, that's the time to think about, well, how am I going to respond maybe the next time? How can I pray to God to help me? Because I don't want to stir this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
We have two choices.
Mm-hmm.
We can stir up anger and produce strife, or we can stir up love.
Mm.
You know, why not decide that, listen, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm going to release this anger to the Lord. I'm going to ask God to help me with this because I need help. You know, why am I being angry or upset and annoyed or frustrated or exasperated? Or why am I breaking out into rage? What's mm-hmm. behind all of this? And we're running out of time. Wish we could talk more about this because there's things that are happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to make a choice. You need to make a decision to say, you know what? I'm going to choose to stir up love. What would happen if you decide to intentionally stir up love in your home? If you were intentionally to stir up love in your family, amongst the fellowship? It takes you to be engaging and maybe start saying kind things,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
doing, you know, acts of kindness, words of encouragement, you know, loving on folks, helping them out,
yeah.
you know, giving somebody a hug there. You'll be surprised at an environment and what happens when an environment of love starts settling. You know, I've been in certain places and where you've walked in and you felt, man, I just feel love.
Yeah.
And when we say that joke, can I feel the love? You can feel love. You can feel love.
I'm into that.
Definitely.
You can feel hate too.
Oh yeah.
But you can feel love. Decide today. If I want to stir anything up, I want to be used to stir up love.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it. Right. When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook. Mm. You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I was thinking about the blessing of the Lord and how God blesses us and adds no trouble to it. You know what I'm saying? Because some people get blessings. I don't know where them blessings come from.
From the Lord.
Yeah, all kinds of troubles and all kinds of stuff. In fact, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessings of the Lord bring wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. And what makes me think about that, you know, I was on a journey, getting on down here, and 5 years ago, and you'll remember this, Pat, mm-hmm. 5 years ago, the Lord led me to buy a vehicle. Okay, the Lord let me buy a vehicle. And it was time in our life that, you know, we didn't want to get into a car payment or nothing like that. And since then, I've had car payments, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. since that time. But at that particular time, we just wanted to just buy something cash. And I wanted to spend about, I think it was $3,000 or something like that, you know, and then just a second vehicle.
Pocket change for John.
Walking around change.
That's Pat's bling bling money. But anyway.
bling bling. Chris.
Oh, Chris. Bling. I'm sorry. Chris is
the bling bling.
Chris is the bling bling.
Pat just made by Sink's paraphernalia. Oh, they have toothpicks with
not
like a logo on it?
Not just my tools.
Yeah, tools. Yeah, that's his generator.
Nothing I can use.
Yeah. Well, so I'm spending all this time, and me and Pat, actually you and I were both looking for a vehicle that time. And
was it the same time?
Yeah, same exact time.
Oh, wow.
So I'm scouring.
Which is paid off, by the way.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. God is good.
God is very good.
Mm-hmm. You want to pay mine off now?
No. I got another one.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. You had to move a new, bigger, longer
that
limousine.
That limousine. Have you seen it? Yeah, it's on the torch. Limo. It's on the torch. Yeah. If you
had
that
one big enough
limo.
For his trainer.
Oh, yeah.
For his trainer to fit in there.
he's bulking up. Protein.
Had to make room for my tools.
Oh.
Is that what he calls his biceps?
Wow.
You got names for them now?
You got names? He removed guns. He wanted a more subtle approach. He calls them tools now. Yeah. You know, he thought guns was over the top. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I got pistols.
water gun pistols.
Water gun pistols.
Squirt. Cap gun.
Cap guns. Cap guns.
Ting, ting, ting. Ding,
ding. What were you talking about?
Yes, this car. So I'm searching, and I just couldn't find a thing. And I'm, you know, car lots, you know, newspapers, driving everywhere, and just could not find a thing. So one weekend, my wife and I were think we're getting away for our anniversary out beach for a weekend and just relaxing. And I was abiding and spending time with the Lord. And the Lord just revealed to me, spoke to me, that I wasn't trusting him. I was not trusting him. And this is really, you know, just opened my eyes. He basically said, you know, you didn't have that much money to buy a car. So you know, you couldn't put the trust in the finances.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you're putting the trust in yourself and your ability to go find that car. And he says, you just need to trust me.
Mm.
And man, I just repented that morning. I said, Lord, you know, you're so right. You know, I went out there and tried to do my own thing and trying to get this car and, you know, praying for you to bless my efforts when I just should have said, Lord, you know, just, you know, open the door for me, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll believe that, you know, you can do this for me. I'm going to trust you to do this. Well, it was about a week after that. I'm back at home and it's about 9 o'clock at night. Someone who knew that I was looking for a vehicle called me up and said, listen, there is a vehicle up here. It's 9 o'clock at night now. I'm shutting mm-hmm. down. You got to come and get this car, man. This is your car. You got to come and get this. And I'm thinking, man, dude, it's 9 o'clock at night. I have done repented with the Lord a little while ago.
Right.
I'm not trying to push nothing here, okay? If it's for me, I'll look at it tomorrow. So I just, you know, we get off the phone. Half hour later, he's ringing my phone. You better come get this car, man. This is your car. It is an excellent price. This thing's not going to be here in the morning.
Right.
And he was just so persistent. I said, Lord, I better go check this car out. You know what I'm saying? So I got dressed, went down there, and sure enough, man, it was this Honda Accord. It was like dirt cheap. I think it was $2,200.
Oh, wow.
It was perfect. Absolutely perfect. So, man of faith there, I asked the guy, so why are you selling this thing so cheap? You know, what are you doing? And he says, man, I have two cars. I really need to pay off this other car. We don't need two. We only need one. And I've really got it. I'm in a bind. I just got to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, brother, stick your hand out.
There you go.
Let me count this out for you, you know, and paid it. And
so when you stopped.
Yeah.
God started.
Yeah.
When you stopped moving
blowing
in works,
your phone up.
Yeah. He started moving in faith and trusting God.
Isn't that something?
Isn't it? He showed himself mighty, didn't he?
Huge. Huge.
So much pressure. Everybody, you know, so many people look and they go, can you tell me what steps did you take for this to come to pass? Right.
What was the formula?
I just quit taking steps and just started believing. And then when he told me to take two steps, I took two steps. When he told me to stop, I stopped. Walking in obedience, right?
Walking in obedience.
Wow.
Go figure.
We wouldn't call that radical. We would just call that following Jesus.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? just following the Lord.
That comes from radical Christianity.
Yeah.
The cause of that fruitfulness comes from radical Christianity.
Actually, follow the Bible.
They follow the Bible. Like,
yeah.
Ooh. Watch out. You might be blessed. Radical Christianity. Yeah. Coming to some town near you.
So if that wasn't enough, I mean, that was just thank you, Jesus.
Send that to all your vehicles.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted a vehicle like that. Actually, mm-hmm. I actually went to a car lot. And I couldn't afford the one they had at the car lot, but I wanted a car like that.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me the car that I wanted. And little did I know that 5 months later, or 6 months later, I'd be driving that same vehicle 1,200 miles to New Jersey. I had no idea. Yeah. God had a relocation package for me. And I was driving that thing 1,200 miles.
Don't tell me God can't move at Starbucks.
Oh.
Ooh.
Don't. That's right.
He moved, doesn't he?
He moves.
We've had a lot of God encounters at Starbucks.
The glory. We'll tell you where the bench.
That's right.
So, not only did it make it up there, guys, but I drove this vehicle all through Jersey City. Now, you can understand. That was a 40-minute commute dodging potholes and lanes. And, I mean, there's potholes big enough that the whole car could fit in it.
There's
potholes on
bridges.
On bridges. Dude, I mean, and then when it rains and it snows, you can't see that there's a pothole there. You only can feel when it goes.
That takes out the bottom of your car.
Exactly. Which I have broken axles before.
Oh, wow.
Okay? I'm serious. This is serious. Not in this car. Not in this car.
Right.
But in another car. This car has been to Manhattan. This car has been in the Bronx. Okay? I mean, this car has been all over New Jersey, and it's never given me not one problem.
Wow.
I'm talking about the blessing
car.
Of the Lord adds no trouble to it. When God's in it, he's just going to bless you. You just got to follow God. You got to listen to the Lord and be obedient, and just he's going to do it for you. And I'm sure glad that I stopped, right? And then I drove here recently. I brought this car down to the Emerald Coast, another 1,200, the same car that I bought 5 years ago that now has over 199,000 miles, still clean, and rides like a dream. Mm. I mean, rides so smooth. Came 1,200 miles down, and get this, my son and I, as we're sitting in the cab of this truck, counted 13 vehicles stranded on the side of the road on our journey.
Broke down.
Your heart just goes out, and you see folks out there on the side of the road, and we just, Lord, just bless them.
Especially God, on the
send
interstate.
Them.
That's
oh,
terrible.
Lord, send
Been
somebody.
There, done that.
I mean, I'm talking about remote places, man. I mean, if I wasn't driving a 26-foot truck, and you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just want to pull over and say, what can I do for you? You know, you just, but 13, all new vehicles at that, you know, and it's like, wow. Jesus, you are so, so amazing. You are so, so good. You know, maybe you have big plans right now, you know, and, you, and you're just realizing that I'm not even trusting God in this. I haven't even invited the Lord. I just... I'm up and moving and doing things and planning and just carrying on. And I'm asking God to bless what I'm doing instead of just following the blessing of the Lord. You know what I mean? It's, we sometimes we get it twisted like that, where we want God to bless what we're doing instead of, you know, God's blessing what he's doing. You know, he's not stamping his approval on everything, right?
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, you can trust him. Maybe it's your job. You know, maybe it's your finances today.
Right.
And you're trying to do it all and save and pinch and this and that. And
that's where he's taking us. He's taking us where you have to trust him anyway. But
might as well start now.
You might as well start now. Let's do it, because you're on this side. You're not going to fall into some gulag somewhere.
That's right.
You know, some camp or train.
That's right. That's right. Start trusting him. Right. You know, maybe you're working on the ability to make a deal or putting your trust in other people. That's amazing. I've seen that so many times. People just put all their trust in a person. And it's like, why don't you put your trust in Jesus? Right, you know, put trust in God.
His love always trusts. And, and he can be trusted. The Lord can be trusted.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called? The Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right? And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you, and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives. For example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day, you know, and the perspective of things going on, and that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. Now, I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things and man and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
There comes a point in time when you can't even resist your enemies anymore. You just have no power, you have no strength left, and you're just going into captivity. And it's pretty much God saying, I've tried everything to get your attention, and you're not listening to me, so you're going to be taken and sold as slaves to your enemy, what he says.
Yeah.
And first he sends people in. He allows people to be sent in to, but he actually sent them in, if you read about Israel, to raid his people. Because his people, you understand, they were pagans. They totally left God, the knowledge of God, and just went to begin to do their own thing. And that's what's happened today, in today's culture. As a matter of fact, right, I believe it was in Oregon, Seattle, there was people in the town square dancing around a golden calf in, belly dancing type things. And it's just amazing how, you know, once you're given over to something, it's like, do you realize what you're walking out here? And then, so here we are at this point, and you start looking, you know, is the church in America going to wake up? You know, and the one thing that we have to respond to, remember, the first thing that happens is God was sending raiders. And you can see this called This Generation on VFN TV. Don't give up hope, even for a pagan generation. This stuff has happened over and over again. And but God rescues his people when they begin to turn back to him. But in that, he sends raiders to just take away all the stuff and things and everything that his people wouldn't give up and wouldn't honor him with. Then, and maybe that's going to get their attention. And it's like, everything's being taken away right now. It seems like you're actually are doing well when you're borrowing money. But the truth is, they're going to start calling for their loans. You can give this false sense of doing well. And when you borrow money, I'll never forget years ago when I got my first loan, I had this sense of like, wow, it was amazing, you know? And
until that statement came in, man.
Well, you know, I was very young. I was probably 17 or something. I don't know what I was, 18. And you just have this ignorant sense of, you know, this is great. Mm-hmm. And then you think, because it's a false feeling that's not your money, that's somebody letting you borrow their money, but you still don't know it yet because the first payment's not due. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the payment comes due, and then you start realizing more and more of your life now is starting to have to pay for what you borrowed in the past.
Yeah.
So if you don't gain wisdom from that, you think, well, I need to borrow some more money so I can have what experience that I had prior to that. And so if you fall captive to the American mindset, you would go borrow more money. And you have that feeling for a moment, and you're able to take care of some things. But eventually, just like the first loan, you're going to have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, your entire income for that month is committed to debt service because you're paying off loan A, loan B, loan C, loan D, and you have no money left.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it was not true. You really weren't doing well when you were borrowing money. You just felt like you were doing well. And now, not only were you not doing well before you borrowed money, now you're not doing well and you're indebted to the lender.
Right.
Now, you know, your things and stuff are going to be raided if you don't pay attention to the taskmaster who now rules your life. And I encourage you, you know, do everything you can to get out of debt, lower your debt down. Don't take on extra stuff right now, because everything that you owe, it looks like, you know, the adversary is going to begin to control, you know, God's people and the people of the land. China, at any moment, could begin to call their loan back, although their economy is kind of struggling right now. If they do that, that leaves no choice but for the American government to respond and pay their money back.
Right.
I mean, Germany asked for their gold, by the way, and they said, okay, it's going to take us 7 years to get it. You know, we don't know where we put it at, but we're going to get to it. And they said something like, we're going to give you like 10% of it.
All right.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
You get 10% of it. And it's like, wow. And you really think that if something happens that you're going to be able to run to the bank and go, hey, I need some money. They say, okay, I'll tell you what, it's going to take us 7 years to get it out, but we're going to give you 10% of it in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to show you, they told a whole nation that it's going to take, we're not going to give you all your gold, but we'll give you like 10% of it, whatever it was. And it's going to take 7 years for the whole process to happen.
Wow.
Of course, probably it's war debt and things, you know, if you, we'll help you out if you put your gold with us or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just amazing what's taking place right now. And so I want to encourage you, begin to think wisely and get free. I think about the shrewd young manager that Jesus talked about, that this is Jesus. This is God talking through his son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. You've seen the son, you've seen the father. He said this, he said, there was this manager that found out that he was going to be fired. He found out he was going to be fired and for not doing a good job or whatever. And so he was collector. He would collect for his boss. You know, they would come and they would give grain and different kinds of products for his master, and he would for his boss, and he would pay them or he would charge them for them coming to get products, for example. And when he found out he was going to lose his job, he realized, he says, man, I says, I'm too proud to dig ditches, I guess you would say. But I'm too proud to be a servant. And he said also that he's not going to have anything. So he needs to say, yeah, we can start, I need to start doing some things, being nice to these folks, so at least I'm welcome into somebody's house.
Right.
You know? And you'll find out the practices in America that if leaders don't change their way, because you only leave for a period of time anyway, is you won't be welcome in anybody's house.
That's right.
And so this is Jesus telling the story. And so what the man does, he starts calling people in. He says, how much do you owe my boss? And the man, they would say something like, $1,000. He said, well, I'll cut it in half. Just pay $500 and you're free.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else, he says, how much do you owe? And they said something like, you know, I don't know, $500 or whatever. And he says, just pay a percentage of it. Don't worry about it. You're taken care of. And Jesus said this boss man came to this employee and commended him. I mean, what kind of boss is going to, you know, go, I just thank you for giving away my products and my finances?
I never understood that.
Well, the whole thing is this, is that it's all God's.
Yeah.
And he understood the priority of things, and the priority of things is to be good to people and not just to get your stuff and things and treat people bad. And it has nothing to do, it boils down to how you're treating God and how you're treating others, by the way, and how you're treating others is how you're treating God. And so Jesus said, the manager, or the boss man, comes in there and tells this guy, man, he commended him. He's like, great job. I can see the ceremony now. I just want to thank him. He did such a good job. And he called him a shrewd manager.
Mm-hmm.
Because he began to make decisions that were based on his reality. He realized, hey, you know, I'm not going to have a job. And this is where America is right now. We need to start making better decisions, understanding that our future is going to be different than our present. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you can do is stop just living for yourself. You know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to have denied yourself and follow Jesus anyway. So, hey, this is a good time, this side of history.
All right.
Start doing it now. And so afterwards.
Figure it out now.
And in the words that I'm telling, you know, that, you know, Pat can testify to, you know, I don't ever call myself a prophet, but it seems to be prophetic words come out.
That's right.
I'm shocked. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's prophetic. But was many people are going to be losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. And everybody had a job by that time. Everybody's all employed, spending all their money around the world, around America. And of course, everybody looked at me strange. And I said, there's going to be a day that CEOs, former CEOs of organizations will be standing in Walmart, working in Walmart, and be happy about it and be thankful and grateful that they just have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, I heard on the news, a particular man that was worked in the banking industry, CEO type, that was out of a job for 2 years. And there's obviously a lot of people out of work. And doesn't seem that our government's concerned about it.
Right.
And he said on the interview, when he finally got a job, he got a job as a branch manager, you know, from CEO, leader of bank industry, mm-hmm. to just a branch manager, something on the branch manager, but you understand that's, for him, it would be a home.
Right, huge job.
They said, well, how do you think about this? Kind of presented away as a demotion. And the guy says, I'm just grateful. I get up every morning and I'm grateful to have a job. I just did not realize how fragile this thing is. And see, God holds all things together. And this shrewd young manager that Jesus gave us an example of, he realized that God is in control, and it matters how you treat people, and it matters more so the horizontal and the vertical versus what's happening in the economies and what's happening in business, what's happening with your stuff and things. And if in the end you still love people and they still care about you because you did right before them and God, then you did well. No matter how it turns out, you'll be commended too.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see, and something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.